Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 174. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you on this path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check it out on Facebook at rockonthemoney.com or whoa. I need more coffee, Amanda. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up? How are
more
you?
More coffee?
I've had my big cup of coffee already.
You said that so fast. I can't tell if I'm a lawyer and a real estate referral agent.
I'm not sure
or
what you are.
A real estate lawyer.
What are you? I don't know what you are. I'm amazing.
Two different topics. Oh, and I also teach online.
Damn.
Yeah. My husband's teaching online now too.
Awesome. He's
living the dream and having, you know, some of the same challenges as students that I've always had. I just say, I tried to warn you.
There you go. Bring in that money.
Can we talk about something before we jump into questions?
Sure.
Yeah. So I thought maybe we would just chat about the importance of two things, emergency funds and shopping around.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my dog, Roscoe, everyone knows Roscoe, right? He's an English bulldog. He just turned 9 and he's having more and more breathing issues, which is not uncommon with bulldogs, especially as they age. So we're looking to have his soft palate, shortened.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the layman's way of explaining
okay.
it. So we took him to a surgical consult and the surgeon said, well, if everything goes perfectly, it'll be $5,000. If there's any complications, it might be upwards of $10,000. I'm like, well, that's a pretty big spread, right? Like, are you doing the surgery twice? What's happening?
Right.
And so I was just like devastated, right? Like, that's crazy. And then also, of course, he says, and it's high risk and he may or may not come out of surgery, right?
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine dropping $10,000 and then still not having a dog? Like, that's just mind-boggling to me.
I don't like those odds.
Yeah. So then, of course, I'm like, well, this is not the only surgeon in town. You know, luckily I live in a metropolitan area where there are more choices like that. I know.
Right.
So we've gone all around. And now, of course, I had 3 or 4 other consults. And, you know, they charge you a fee for every consultation. So, but I'm willing to spend, you know, $100 here or there for a consult to save thousands of dollars.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So we did find a surgeon that we like yesterday, and he's an older gentleman with a really good practice, has a lot of experience doing these particular surgeries, even, on Georgia Bulldogs and things like that. So, and his rate, his estimate comes out at $1,600. And I just thought,
holy mackerel.
What a difference, right? And he even said, you know, that's absurd what they were going to charge you over at this other place. He's like, you know, people are going to have to stand before God at some point and try and explain why they were overcharging people, you know, for their animals.
He's old school, isn't he?
He's old school.
That's why.
So those are my two lessons learned, right? I mean, I already knew the lessons, but I just wanted to share with everyone else is, especially when it comes to pets and people are so emotionally invested in taking care of a member of their family, it's really hard to not just say, okay, well, just go ahead and do it when you're just there in the surgeon's office and they're ready to schedule it for the next day. And, you know, and there's all this like pressure to go ahead and have it done. It's okay to take a night to think it over and figure out, is this the best path or is there another option that gets us to the same end result? I mean, it doesn't take away from the fact that it's still going to be a high risk procedure, no matter who does it, you know?
Right. They call that a captive customer.
Yeah. I mean, well, and there's so much emotion involved when it's your pet or your child or something like that.
But they shouldn't take advantage of that situation.
They're totally exploiting that. And then also trying to tack on other things like, well, at the same time, you should also do an ultrasound of his belly and see if he's got a tumor on his liver or spleen. It's like nothing is indicating that that's an issue.
Right.
But hey, why not tack on another $1,000 for that? Right.
Exactly.
Just running up the bill. So. So that's the big lesson on get a second opinion and shop around for anything that's major. So not just like surgeries, but this is like if you're going to buy a refrigerator, shop around. If you're going if you're going to buy a car, make sure you're shopping around because people they can take advantage of you, especially in a vulnerable time when you're really emotional and you're captive. Yes. And then the savings account thing matters as well, because could you imagine if we didn't have an emergency fund? Well, the Roscoe fund, as I like to call it.
Right.
And you know, you just have this surprise expense. Like, what if it was $5,000? Well, so many people then have a hard time saying, well, can I help my pet, or do I have to euthanize them? And that's a horrible place to be, right?
Yeah, Amanda, a lot of people, there are people listening right now like, well, yeah, but what about pet insurance? You want to touch on that?
Yeah. So, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think it's one half a dozen of one, six of the other, right?
Right.
So you can either be making monthly payments into a pet insurance premium, or you can be making monthly payments into a savings account. And either way, you're rolling the dice, right? With the pet insurance, you're rolling the dice that something bad will happen and that you'll be covered. And with your own savings account, you're rolling the dice thinking, you know, hoping that something doesn't happen, and then you'll just have all this extra pile of money. I would rather bet on the good,
right,
and put my money towards, yeah, I'm hopeful that nothing bad will happen. And also, if nothing bad happens, then it's my money I get to keep. You don't get a refund on your insurance premiums. But, you know, it's to each their own. If that's where you're more comfortable and you like the idea of, if something were to come up like this, you would have insurance coverage. You know, of course, you'd still have to pay a deductible, and you've been paying premiums all along and all that, but you would be coming out of pocket at that particular moment much lower.
And don't pet insurance policies have particular breeds that surgery that you want may not even be covered?
It may not. Yeah. So if it's something that's really common with your particular breed of dog, they might list it as an exclusion. So you do have to be really careful about reading your policy exclusions if you do go the route of pet insurance.
Yeah. The better thing is just to have a separate bucket just for that. We don't believe in insuring anything on the small end. I'm not saying your pet's small.
Yeah.
It is a big deal, but we only insure a house, a car, the big ticket items. Yes, yeah. The pet is not a big ticket item.
Yeah, and definitely pre-existing conditions are always excluded. So if you've already seen a doctor who says, hey, he might need this type of surgery, there's no way you're going to be able to, because they get the vet's records.
Like blind, Dalmatians are susceptible to blindness, hip dysplasias, and all this other stuff in other breeds. Yeah, all the common stuff is not going to be covered.
Yeah, and the price of the premiums go up every year as your pet ages, because the likelihood of a claim is higher. So it's all things to consider. If you're going to get pet insurance, I would say get it earlier in their life. So one, you aren't stuck with a bunch of exclusions for pre-existing conditions that came up, and two, that you start out with a lower premium. But I mean, there's no sure thing. And I, the optimist in me, likes to think, well, my hope is nothing goes wrong and that then I still get to keep my money. But if something does go wrong, I do have the money, right?
That's right.
Versus, you know, you're rolling the dice with pet insurance thinking you're almost hoping something goes wrong so that what you pay has some benefit, right? Some value.
There you go. All right. Quick questions. We'll knock these out really quick. You ready for this one?
Yeah, we can do one before the break and then
Here's one where... This question is great because I'm not sure why they included this as part of the question. They felt was in. You know what I'm talking about.
Reading it. I'm just
here you go, guys. Listen to this. Planning on getting married, both on our fourth marriage, both have our own property. Why are you laughing?
Because between them, it's like eight marriages.
They're
right?
Both on their fourth marriage. Both have our own property and a home and own. Wait, yeah.
It's five marriages between them. I just did my God. My head wrong.
This is crazy. Both have our own property.
Six and seven marriages between
them. Seven marriages. Got it.
Yeah. The seventh. Yeah.
If everybody's still not laying on the floor, stunned by this, both have our own property and home and owe money.
Uh-huh.
Question. I make more money than he does. Should we do joint accounts or separate bank accounts or all in one account? I have no idea what all that other nonsense was when we finally got to the actual question.
Oh, I love it though.
But oh yeah, it made it entertaining.
I 100% love it.
So should they do joint or separate bank accounts and they're going to be married?
Well, I normally I would say if it's like both of the person's second marriage that, oh, maybe you learned what went wrong the first time and you're in a better place to make sound decisions, right?
We're not judging people.
We're not judging. I'm just saying, like, maybe in this case, the judgment of each of them might be askew. So a couple of things. This is one of the classic, it depends. What state are you in? Because each state has its own laws. If you're in a marital property state, it's not going to matter whether you have it in separate accounts or not. It's going to, you know, all get blended together at some point.
Yeah.
And if you make more, so the other thing I would say is you probably, if you haven't before, should be thinking now on marriage number 7 between you, that a prenuptial agreement.
There's the B word.
And then, you know, once you sit down and hammer out the prenuptial agreement, which both parties should be open to it at this point, knowing that they've each failed 3 times prior, you know, it doesn't mean you're planning for failure. It just means that you're planning to make failure land softer, right?
It seems like they think if they do separate accounts, that protects their money, which is not true depending on what state
not
you're in, is where they're getting
true.
Into. So
yeah,
what you really want is a prenup so everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Should this 20th marriage not work?
Yeah. Yeah. And just even if you don't have like a huge estate or millions of dollars, it doesn't mean that's not why people get prenups. Right. I mean, if they have that, they 100% should have a prenup. But anyone should have a prenuptial agreement. If there's any question whatsoever about what would happen to property and debt, especially debt, should something not work out.
Right. And I think prenup had a bad name years ago, but nowadays it is a planning mechanism.
It's planning.
It's nothing bad.
It also can tackle what the expectations are during the marriage, you know? Right. So it's not necessarily that it's talking about only what would happen if the marriage ends, but there's also agreements on, well, what happens during the marriage. So it's really a good planning mechanism. Everyone's crystal clear going in, and it actually sets people up more for success.
Because
everyone's on the same page and there's not arguments about this and that.
Because you don't want to find out stuff after the ring goes on. Yeah. And yeah, nothing to protect you. It's like, oh crap, I wish I'd known.
So also, congratulations on making more money than he does.
Yeah, exactly. Sugar mama. Sugar mama, baby. Is that what your husband says? I got me a sugar mama.
He says he's a poor soldier.
He's a Here, let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You listen to Rocket Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rock on the Money. Amanda and Craig, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. And we also have our website, rockonthemoney.com. We got 3 more questions, you ready?
Yeah, always.
Hey guys. Hi. I'm just curious of what some of the side jobs that you found earn extra money to pay off debt. I'm currently working full-time and I DoorDash when I'm not working, which brings in around $200 to $300 a week. But cuts in my personal time in a big way. Hope all is well, and thanks in advance. By the way, I have a truck as well, but I can't find a way to utilize it to earn extra money.
Oh.
I find that difficult. What do you mean you can't?
Oh, okay.
People are always looking for people to haul stuff around. Are you kidding
me? Well, not only that, but you could rent out your truck on Turo.
There you go.
Yeah. So it sounds like the truck is extra vehicle. So that is why I lean towards that. If it's the vehicle you're using to do DoorDash, then that's not helpful.
I think it's a guy that doesn't like his, he likes his truck. He doesn't want it messed up.
Yeah. Well,
let's move on. Anyway.
But you know, it's the same as people who rent out their houses on Airbnb. Most people in the sharing community are good people. And actually, you know what? I think you actually go out of your way to take better care of a Turo vehicle than a regular rental.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I rented one anyway.
Well, yeah, because it is someone's car. It's not like Hertz's car. I can care less.
Right. Exactly. So, to me, I see it as relatively low risk. Of course, check with your insurance company to make sure that, you have proper coverage for something like that. But if you're already doing DoorDash, it sounds like you've already looked into automobile insurance, waivers to add in coverage for things like that. So that would be my idea, is if you have this extra vehicle, you utilize it to earn extra money, or you certainly can offer to haul things. I'm sure there's apps out there where people
tons of apps out there, Tackle and all that stuff. They do have people with pickup trucks. Like, I had a guy come take out one or two trees out of my backyard. He does on weekends. He put a little trailer on the back end.
Yeah.
Came out with a chainsaw, took it all down. It was so much cheaper, less expensive to use him than to get one of these tree companies come out. He says, I just do this weekend. I got a pickup truck. I bought me a little trailer and I go to cut down little trees out of people's yards and stuff. I'm like, I gave him a big tip because it was so much cheaper.
Right. And the other thing I would say is I want to tackle this comment about it bringing or cutting into personal time in a big way. Mm. Yeah. Any side thing is going to cut into your personal time in a big way if it's going to pay off, really. I mean, that's just like if you're delivering pizzas, it's going to cut into your personal time in a big way. Yeah, I teach online classes and so does my husband. And it cuts into our personal time in a big way, spending time grading papers. Even though we're sitting at home, it's, you're sitting in front of your computer solo. You're not spending time with the other person. So.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the nature of work. Is that anything you're doing for work, whether it's a full-time job or a side gig, it's still work. You're going to be cutting into your personal time, unfortunately.
Okay, Amanda, you're right.
And also, $200 to $300 a week is nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty
good. That's great money. Can I do a reveal of something that even you don't know about me?
Should I say no? Would that be?
Well, then we have no content if I go on the next question. So the point is, You know how the podcasting
works,
right?
Don't ask a yes or no question. You don't want
to. So guess what I was going to do a couple weeks ago?
I cannot guess.
Considering I've done flight attendant, I've done everything. I'm like a, I don't know, what am I? I'm like, what was that movie? Forrest Gump. I'm like trying everything. So guess what I was going to do a couple weeks ago?
A ping pong tournament.
No, but it's because of this DoorDash thing. I was going to do one of these delivery things just to see what it was like, just for the experience. I don't need to do it, but I just wanted to do it. So I was going to do Walmart. Spark. So Walmart has their own delivery that you only deliver from Walmart. And here's the best thing about Spark, which is why it was the only one I was interested in. You never meet the customer. You don't even go shopping. You literally go to Walmart. You tell them where you're at if you accept the delivery, right?
Yeah.
And you pull into this and they bring it out to you as if you bought your own groceries. Yeah. Then you go in this damn store. Now they do have an option where you have to go in and actually get the
items. Shopping.
But it's already paid for. And then you just use your scanner, use your phone to scan. And I'm watching all these people on YouTube doing it. Cause here's the thing. These YouTubers that are doing it, they're doing it as content to show on YouTube, and people love watching this and they're making money on the YouTube and that they're like double dipping on this.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it to prove to everybody here what was the experience like doing this. Because I'm not going to do it long term, but I just want to do it for like a month and see how much do I actually make with a car that gets 35 miles a gallon. And
which is pretty good.
Oh, no, it's really good. So, I mean, I'm set up really good for it. And I watched a lot of videos on YouTube of people that do it, and they prefer, all of them like Spark. They love Walmart's version of delivery. They don't like Amazon's.
Yeah.
They don't like DoorDash. They don't like these. But a lot of them apparently use all these at one time. But almost all of them prefer the Walmart one.
Yeah.
And they gamify it, too. So if you do, like, your first five deliveries, you get a bonus of hundreds of dollars. And
yeah.
So they give these little things to incentivize you to do these deliveries. So it's like, so you really don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And even the Walmart workers that bring it out to your car, they don't even really talk to you. It's all business. Everybody just scans it, scan, go. The app takes you right to the house and you take a picture, you leave it outside. It's no touch delivery. Just leave it out there, take a picture, and mark it as delivered and move on. I said, nice. Ooh, it's low risk. I like it. Anyway, I was going to try that.
Okay. Well,
but
you keep us
here's
posted.
Why I can't do it. They don't have it in the Washington area. It's not available. Oh. There's not, I would have to go all the way to Baltimore to do it. I'm not going to Baltimore and delivering groceries or
that's
whatever
hilarious.
In Baltimore. Yeah, because I could be in areas I don't want to go. I'm like,
Okay, well, all right.
So maybe in the future, if Spark ever becomes available close by, I'd like to try it just for the experience, see what it's like. And then take people on a ride with a camera and say, all right, this is what's going on. This is what's on my screen. And take along for the ride. So once again, if you ever see it happen, it's just like everything else. Here's another question.
Okay.
Is taking a personal loan to pay off credit cards a good idea?
Girl.
I'm not done yet. There's some more. I have about $20,000 in credit cards and I can barely save any money at the end of the month after making payments on them. Also, I am thinking about buying a home within a year or two.
Yeah, so you're dreaming about buying a home within a year or two.
Yeah, with $20,000 on a credit card. And you can barely pay that off, so.
Yeah, so you're not going to be able to save up.
What do they call that, a debt-to-what ratio?
Yeah, debt-to-income.
Yeah, it seems like they're nowhere near. Yeah, number one, I mean, I'm not the realtor here, but yeah, that house thing, take that out of the equation. Number one, just don't even think that's even going to happen yet. You can make that a goal.
Not necessarily, Craig. So just so everyone's aware, there are a number of really good first-time home buyer programs out there that can give you grants for the down payments. Or like for my son, in fact, the lender is a credit union and they have a program where you can do just 1% down and no PMI. So, I mean, that's amazing, right?
I think my concern is when you're a homeowner, all those costs that come along with that.
Yeah, you're going to put...
And you're already backed in a corner and you're just
going to... emergency is going to go back on your credit card.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any positive. You need to be out of debt before you buy the house because you're just literally going to get another card because now you can't... You're already trying to get debt to pay off debt and then you want to get even the biggest debt you could ever have as a house.
Yeah. And the downside of making a very low down payment on a house is that your monthly payments are higher.
Right, so what's happening is... If you want to do all that, you're the rest of your life could be miserable.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be so in a hole, you can't get out of it.
You're already in a hole and you're chipping away at it, which is amazing, but it's going to take some time. So paying off credit cards with a personal loan, it's not my favorite thing in the world. We call it the shell game where you're just moving debt from one thing to another. But the reason I hesitate is because credit card interest rates are so astronomical.
And going up.
That if you were able to take a personal loan at a much lower interest rate, you know, significantly, I'm talking like 5 to 10% interest versus the close to 30% I imagine you're paying on your credit card, then I can see it happening, but you're going to have to cut up those cards and not use them.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to continue to add to the balance. So, I could see doing that and you'll pay them all off and then you'll just have one payment to make every month. But make sure you make that payment on time because a lot of times if you make a late payment, the rates can go up.
Another big concern of mine, I'm not trying to judge here, but just based on what the question is, they enjoy the debt. They look at debt as a way to solve everything.
Yeah.
And that's a psychology issue that we got to correct. Otherwise, this is going to keep going on for year after year. And then when you turn 40 or 50, getting close to that age where you think you might be able to retire. You're not going to, because now you had nothing to save because you've been trying to do that old debt your whole life, which many people in America do.
Yeah.
Many. 70% of Americans don't have, what, $500?
Right.
In savings.
Right. They don't have money to cover a $500 emergency.
This is the situation right here. By doing this, keeps you from saving any money. Because the whole goal of all this work crap that we're out here busting our asses for is so we don't have to do that anymore. It's not to buy things that impress people we don't like. It's so we don't have to do this anymore. We can enjoy life. That's the point.
Yeah, right? How's retirement going for you, Craig?
I'm bored out of my... So here, here's the problem with retirement. When I retired, nobody else is and nobody else is around. It's boring as crap.
Yeah.
That's the part they never... I could do a whole video about retirement.
And yet you refuse to come down to Florida and visit me or go on a cruise with us. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. You're more busy now than you were when you were working.
I know, but I had some medical things come up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Question number four, which I guess I should tell everybody in the group. Everything's fine. Question number four.
Yes, but that does help explain. I know people were in the Facebook group were very concerned that things have been quiet the last couple of months. It's because Craig and I have both been managing some personal items that have come up, and it just the Facebook group just took a lower priority. So we're still around. It's just, you know, sometimes things in life happen.
We broke up as podcast partners. It was a horrible breakup, and
now the band's back together.
Yeah, the band's back together. Question number four: getting ready to sell the house. What is the best way to go, by owner or through a realtor? This is you.
Yeah, my fear is that people are going to think that I'm biased with this answer. So objectively,
I will back you up.
Yeah. Objectively speaking, as a buyer, I generally start my search on the internet applications like Zillow, Realtor.com, Redfin. Every single one of them extracts out the listings that are by owner and puts them on a separate, almost hidden tab that you don't even notice unless you go seeking it out. So if you go like to Zillow right now and you're looking in your area for homes for sale, it's only going to put up the ones that are listed by agents. You would have to switch to the tab that's called Other.
Really?
to see things that are listed by owners or that are, you know, going by auction or things like that. And I only recently realized this, and I'm in, you know, the industry. And because I look at so many different markets as a buyer, I thought, wow, that's crazy. So now I have to make it a habit to look at that. But the general user isn't going to notice that. So yes, there is this thought of, hey, I want to sell, but I don't want to have to pay an agent their commission. Agents work hard for their commissions. And I will tell you, agents generally get your house sold faster and for more money than when you're listing it by owner. So that commission pays for itself.
So if you win, they win.
Yes. And they're motivated to get you the best price and to sell the quickest because they don't get paid until you win.
So I had somebody in my chat room the other day.
I heard you clicking. Were you trying to pull up Zillow?
You're actually right. I can't even find the... Oh my God, it's crazy. I never knew that.
Most people don't. And I only know it because I'm constantly looking for deals in multiple markets. And I'm like, this is crazy. And also the other thing I noticed is for sale by owner, they almost 90% of the time or more, they overprice their home.
Right.
Because they have this delusional idea that their home is worth so much more than, you know.
They don't know how to stage it. They don't get all that stuff that you get from realtor.
Yeah. And so, you just are really limiting your market and you're just not going to get the traffic if you don't have an agent. I'll tell you, there's a house a street away from me here in Tampa that's been for sale by owner probably 8 months now.
Oh my God. That was during a hot market too.
It's during maybe even a year. I don't even know at this point, but I see like no traffic. They've got like a sign at the end of the street that points to for sale by owner, and they've got a box in front of their house with like flyers, and it is on Zillow, but again, on that other tab. And there's no reason in Tampa where everything is flying off the shelves that it should sit that long.
By the way, I just saw a house on Zillow right now for $80,000 in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Looks nice. 1,100. We got to talk. Anyway, let me tell you something about somebody who was in my chat room during my live stream. Even though we're playing video games, it's literally a talk radio show.
Yeah.
The game is just an excuse, but we end up talking about all kinds of things. Some guy in there had a realtor that was a friend of the family that they're using.
Yeah.
And again,
you might as well be listing by owner then at right. that point.
And so that was the point. So they keep having to reduce the price of the house. Yeah. It's not selling. Yeah. So again,
and then the psychology of that is buyers think something must be wrong here if people are going and looking at it and it's not selling at that price. Or the other thing I'm seeing a lot of is things go under contract and then go back on the market because the deals keep falling through.
Right.
And that makes a person as a buyer wonder, well, what's wrong with this house? Did it not pass inspection? You know?
Well, I would, because I pull up the listing on any of these things. It says it was reduced and shows the history.
It shows.
So I'm like, well, why does it keep going down? Now I'm like spooked.
And it shows how many days it's been sitting. And yeah. So my opinion, whether you think it's biased or not, hopefully based on what I just shared with you as a buyer.
Right.
Is that 100% the best way to go is through a realtor. And of course, I'm happy to help you find a really great one. If you just put your information in on my form on my website, choicerealtyconnect.com. I use it myself as a buyer in every market.
Now, we've had listeners of the podcast. I know this sounds like an ad, guys, but you know, it doesn't change the price of what you're doing. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a free service. Okay, so this is not a scam. I mean, there's a lot of scams out there. This is not a scam.
Yeah.
She has access to the top realtors. And the only way that you can get this access, because you're a realtor and you do referrals.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of commission. That's full disclosure.
Yeah.
Right. If it goes through.
I will tell you, it's not huge. Just
right. Right.
So I'm not getting rich on this.
But it's a little side gig, but you actually have the access that we don't have and you use it. And we've had listeners of the podcast that it made a difference by tens of thousands of dollars.
In their sales price.
And the photographs were even better. Remember that story in Vegas?
Yeah.
The realtor came out and she was blown away how much greater it was. The photos were better. Everything was better. And they got a lot more money of it. Tens of thousands.
My son's using one of the agents from my referral network. And this guy is going out of his way to drive half an hour out of town to go look at a house, you know, here and there.
They're in the top 5%, and that's how they do it. These are the ones that are out there grinding it. You don't want you don't want your neighbor, my friend of a friend. Everybody has a real estate license. That doesn't do anything. It's the people that are out there that are busting their asses.
And I know it's easy to just go on Zillow and you see a house you like and you click the click I'm interested button. And then, of course, six different agents are going to call you within the next 5 minutes. They're going to call your phone number, I promise you.
Because everybody's an agent. Everybody took a license. That doesn't prove anything.
And as soon as you put your information into Zillow or any of these online things, it gets blasted out to the market of agents. And so you're going to get a whole bunch of phone calls. With a referral exchange, you're going to get matched up with like three different agents. And you might get calls from three of them, but you're also going to get emailed their profile information. So you can look into them yourself and then you can make the decision. And yeah, it's not going to be within 5 minutes of you clicking on the button. It's probably going to take about 24 hours, but that's sometimes the price you pay for quality, right? Is it takes a little bit longer to vet out who's the best person for you.
There you go. All right. But
that's enough of my soapbox. So the answer is really simple on this one is I can't think of a time when it's better to sell by owner unless you already have a buyer lined up.
Or you are your own real estate agent.
Yeah, do it yourself. You yourself. And then, of course, you just have to disclose that the seller's an agent.
But in general, get a professional.
I would tell you, I'm a lawyer and I don't even draft my own wills because that's not my area of expertise, you know?
It's always a smart idea to get professional to do everything.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. However, I did fix my air conditioner the other day.
Good job.
Well, I know how to replace a capacitor. It's like $10. Saves me $500. Anyway, that was a loaded podcast. That was actually a good one. Crazy. Including 27 marriages in the first question.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. I really wish them luck. I kind of want a follow up from them at like a year from now.
Let me see if I can. So what happened? What are y'all doing?
Yeah, it's like the end of one of those shows where you get like the epilogue.
Maybe they'll be on TLC. Maybe they'll have their own reality show. I don't know.
6 months later, where are they? Where are they now?
Yeah, recap. All right. Thank you, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.